Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now.
I'm going to chat about Fairy Fest in this episode. The Fairy and Magical Creature Festival in Elizabethtown, New York, will be on Saturday, August 19th, in the field behind the Historical Museum in downtown Elizabethtown in the Adirondacks. There's going to be entertainment for all ages, food, and lots of great vendors, including me. Dancing Turtle Rescue, my turtle rescue, is going to have an educational booth as well. And my friend and podcast guest, Sherry of Glitter Witch Gardens, will be there too with her herbal wares. If you are local enough to come out for the day, come to Fairy Fest and be sure to say hi. I'll give you the links you need in the show notes. I've had a good week this week after a crazy Sunday of electrical issues that temporarily caused big problems for the injured wild turtles in my care and my incubator full of turtle eggs, mostly extracted from mother turtles who didn't make it across the road. Luckily, I was able to get the panic attack under control right away. We've been having a lot of weird electrical stuff this year. Oddly, it's happened while the electrician is slowly upgrading our service, but not at all because of that. We've had more power outages this year than we've ever had in the 14 years we've lived in this house, all weather-related. And changes that have happened in my life, plus the general state of the world, have upped my stress level. Me and stress and the fire element have a bad history. Back in my days as an accountant, there was a particularly crazy tax season during which I was driving home at midnight after working 16 hours, and the car's headlights just went out. It was a scary ride the rest of the way. Turned out that the wires to the headlights had just spontaneously burned. Also during that period, every time I lit a candle on my altar, the wick fell to the side and exploded the glass candle holder. Why do I bring this up? Because despite life being generally good now, I've taken on enough that I am feeling stressed about getting it all done. And I've been wondering if the buried line that shorted out and cut the electricity to the old bus that serves as my turtle clinic will be burned when we pull it out of the ground. I said this was a good week, and I'll tell you why in a second, but I've been chaotically productive. I'm writing and recording this episode at 4 a.m. on the day it's supposed to be put out, because yesterday, the day I usually record because I don't have my grandson, I got distracted by getting ready for Fairy Fest. Last year, a wonderful little pagan shop in Elizabethtown, New York, in the Adirondacks, decided to host a fairy festival. They got it together in just a few months, from decision to getting vendors to promoting and everything. I just happened to see a Facebook post about it and was reminded I'd been meaning to stop by the shop for a couple of years after they opened and never managed to get there. That very day, I happened to be passing near there on my way to another event, and I went in to introduce myself and grab a few things I needed. Long story short, I mentioned how excited I was to go to the fairy festival, and the next thing I knew, I was vending and bringing turtles. I threw a booth together fast, and we had a fun day. This year, in just a couple of weeks, we're going back with two booths, one for me and one for the turtles. This spring, we upgraded Dancing Turtles educational display and added new native turtle ambassadors to our educational animals. And I was going to work on my booth because I wanted it to be super cool and mysterious feeling. I spent hours on Pinterest coming up with ideas. I drew pictures. I put all kinds of energy into the intention. But here it is, 2 weeks away, and I have a pile of supplies that haven't become anything yet. So I'm a bit panicked and forgot all about the podcast while I tried to get something on the booth accomplished. And then I had all kinds of happy interruptions and didn't get much of anything done on that anyway. I woke up this morning early intending to go out for a run because I'm training for a half marathon in the middle of all this. And it's pouring, thunder and all that. When I gave up on going out in that, I thought about doing some work on the booth before my grandson arrives at 6 a.m. But then I remembered I was supposed to be publishing a podcast episode, and, well, here I am trying to get everything recorded before I have to chase a toddler around. Hopefully, the power stays on. I did say it had been a good week, and you probably listened to my crazed Fairy Fest panic and are thinking that that didn't sound very good. But earlier this week, I was on Zoom with some great people doing ceremony for Lugnasa and kicking off what I hope will be a great Lugnasa season of manifestation. Because that's where we are in the wheel of the year now. It's time to bring everything into being and start harvesting that abundance. During the ceremony, we worked on putting that last zap of power into our intentions and goals to make them so. I worked with my intention for the year, to become a sought-after shamanic Reiki teacher and handfasting officiant. My happy interruptions yesterday included an inquiry about shamanic Reiki trainings and confirming a handfasting I'm officiating in the fall. So yay for Lugnasa season manifesting. For the rest of the episode, I'm going to share some of what I've learned about Lugnasa so that you can attune to the manifesting power. In the Northern Hemisphere, Lugnasa is typically celebrated August 1st or 2nd, but it really marks the beginning of one of the eight seasons of the Wheel of the Year. So you can work with the energy of manifestation and the early harvest until the fall equinox. And really, once you've integrated it, that energy is with you whenever you need it. So the Wheel of the Year turned to a cross-quarter day, a neo-pagan day which marks the halfway point of a season, in this case summer, in the Northern Hemisphere. Lugnasa usually celebrated August 1st or 2nd, begins the season of manifestation and abundance. Acknowledging and celebrating the eight spokes of the wheel tunes you into the Earth's solar cycle, the natural world around you, and your inner cycles of change and growth. While the Wheel of the Year ceremonies are spiritual, I appreciate that they give me another opportunity to get real about my life and the state of all life on this planet. The central figure of Lugnasad, also called Lammas or Lofmas, is Lu, a Celtic god of light and the sun. Lu is part of the Tuatha De Danann of Irish myth. When Lu was born, his grandfather, Balor, received a prophecy that he would be killed by his grandson. Balor had infant Lu thrown into the ocean, but Lu miraculously, or with the help of the Fae, depending on the version of the story you come across, survives. One of the foster mothers Lu may have had was a Celtic goddess of the earth, Teltiu. Lu becomes skilled in many things, including warfare, and ends up killing his grandfather Balor in battle. Lu's story of apparent death and resurrection gaining power parallels the sun cycle of strengthening and fading and strengthening again. His festival, Lugnasa, happens around the 1st of August, as I've said, and was said to be a day of athletic games and feasting on what is the first to be harvested. In honor of Lu's mother, who died of exhaustion, clearing Ireland's fields for the first farmers. So Lugnasa is very much about growing things, the agricultural cycle. And my home is in a northern mountain region with a very short growing season. The first of my garden tomatoes, if I've managed to keep a vine alive, which I did this year, usually ripen right around Lugnasa. I love the idea of growing food, but honestly, I'm usually distracted from tending shortly after the plants go into the ground. I have all my wild ones to care for, and I'm just really not that into pulling weeds. So any abundance I get from my garden is usually a happy accident. But I love the wildflowers and to see what's blooming and becoming abundant naturally this time of year. The yellows are starting to dominate the wildflowers now. Goldenrod and black-eyed Susans are starting to bloom. And these beautiful red flame-shaped flowers top the sumac, this native shrub. And the milkweed is blooming too and feeding the hungry caterpillars. Monarch butterflies were once plentiful here throughout most of the summer, but now they appear in very small numbers and usually right around this time. And they're doing their own cycle of growth as a caterpillar, apparent death in the cocoon and rebirth as a mature butterfly. I've seen only one monarch this year, unfortunately, and I've been looking at all of the milkweed that I see along the sides of the road when I run, and I haven't seen any caterpillars yet. I'm hoping. I do have some painted lady caterpillars that have just cocooned in my butterfly enclosure. And those are ones that I purchased in order to be able to grow and put them out into the garden to try to help restore their numbers. Baby birds that hatched earlier this summer have fledged, and the blue jay family that hangs out at my feeders has been introducing me to their two new babies. They are so cute, the way they follow their parents around and beg for food. The squirrels here are super active too. And the first acorns are starting to drop, and they have that, and they have the sunflower seeds in the feeders, and right now they're just enjoying all that abundance, but very soon they will be gathering and storing. Lugnasa is the height of the season of growth. Where I live, August weather is often hot and humid, which slows the pace of life. Although this year, we're having a bit of a cool August so far. Even so, it doesn't feel like there's much of a need to rush, because there's lots of abundance and food at hand, and it feels like both the wildlife and I are tuned into the opportunity to just be a little bit more lazy in the afternoon heat, which really conflicts with my need to get things done right now. Now, you can work with Lugnasa by doing what I'm doing and tuning in and, you know, starting to pick my tomatoes and checking my squash plants and seeing what's happening and really appreciating that the things that I started are manifesting. And you can also surround yourself with symbols of the season. So you might decorate your altar or set up for a ritual or just put these things around you or work with them. So I mentioned that the yellow wildflowers are starting to bloom, and orange, yellow, gold, brown are the colors that symbolize Lugnasa. But that doesn't mean that you have to use them. Look at the landscape around you. What colors are dominant where you are? Because those colors are going to signify what's growing, what's blooming, what's manifesting around you. We're working with strong sun energy, strong solar energy. So candles and bonfires bring that sun energy down. And I mentioned flowers are blooming. So what flowers are blooming? Around me, I mentioned goldenrod, black-eyed Susans. The sunflowers are blooming. Marigolds are blooming. Asters are starting to bloom. So what is blooming around you? Maybe this is a time to cut some of those flowers and bring them in for your altar. This harvest is the harvest of the grains and corn stalks. So use those as symbolism for you. Maybe some wheat or some actual ears of corn. My friend Jen of Hot Mess Healing, who is going to be with us again next week for another episode about the tarot, also works with gemstones. And I touched base with her because I was like, I know that amber and citrine and tiger's eye really have that very sun energy to them. But what else is good for manifesting? And she said pyrite, which is one of her favorite stones for that, and green and red aventurine, which draw abundance. And she also pointed out that citrine is really good for attracting abundance, but also for keeping it, because citrine doesn't ever need to be cleansed, and you can charge it to attract abundance and just leave it there and just keep that energy flowing. And then I also checked in with my friend Sherry of Glitter Witch Gardens, who was in the last episode, and asked her what herbs work with this season. And she said, oh, mint, which I have a patch of mint in my garden, or what is now grassland, abandoned garden because the mint has completely taken over. And it is tall and fragrant and flowering. And she said mint is really good because it's cooling and helps you deal with that summer heat if you're experiencing it. But it's also an abundance drawing herb. And she also said that those resin incenses like frankincense and sandalwood are really great to burn now because they have, over time, with patience, captured that sun energy in that resin. So when you're working with those resinous incenses, you are releasing some of that sun energy into your space. Now, one of the things about pagan ceremonies and celebrations, and I've been in pagan circles for 30 years, it's all about the food. So whenever we gather, there's potlucks and other food, you know, that people have created in celebration. Even moon rituals are usually include what we call cakes and ale, those celebratory foods that help us to ground back down after ritual. Most of the seasonal foods that are used in those celebrations are tied into the agricultural cycle, so what is being harvested at the time. And unfortunately, that includes farmed animals. And I say unfortunately for me because I'm vegan. So one of the things that I've been challenging myself to do each season is to come up with foods that are appropriate for the celebration and also vegan. Now, lucky for me, Lugnasad's foods are often already plant-based or easily made so. So one of the things that we eat a lot of this time of year is corn on the cob. And if we put it on the grill, then it's just got all that extra sun energy in it. And Lugnasa, being this grain harvest, is also a time to make fresh bread. And there are lots of great vegan bread recipes out there. The berries are also ripe now, especially the later berries like raspberries and blackberries, and they make great pies. And I've actually found that a lot of the commercial pie crusts are accidentally vegan. And really, you can make dishes from whatever's ready to harvest in your garden or whatever's at the farmer's market or the farm stands, because that's what is being harvested right now. And it's really good to choose what is actually being harvested in your local area now, rather than what you find in the grocery store, because of course we're shipping all kinds of produce all over the world. So, you know, I am eating the tomatoes off of my tomato vine right now, but in December, I can still get tomatoes. Another really important aspect of Lugnasa is beer and ale and mead, all of those things that are brewed from the fermented grains. For those who are in recovery, there are non-alcoholic beers available so that you can take part in the celebration too. I do a lot of work with cacao personally and leading ceremonies. So if cacao is something that you work with and you're making a cacao drink, this time of year calls for cinnamon. So put some cinnamon into your cacao. And if you want to add a little bit more of the heat, then a pinch of cayenne will really do that for you. And also, if you are lightening
your cacao. I always recommend using plant milk anyway, because we're working with plant energy with cacao to start with. But oat milk is great to add now to bring in those grains. And during the Lignasat season, when you go out to the earth and you make offerings, offer a portion of what you're harvesting or what you picked up at the farmer's market, or small amounts of bread, being really careful with that because bread can be harmful to birds when it's eaten. I always say when you leave an offering to the earth to be considerate of the wildlife and never leave anything that might be toxic to those who are smaller than humans. Another of the symbolism things that I work with is what animals, and particularly wildlife, are active now or seem to symbolize the season. And because of their relationship to cornfields and scarecrows, I had to go with crow for Lignasa. Crows are super, super smart, and they build and use tools, and they play games, and they even mourn their dead. I had the opportunity a couple years ago to monitor a crow who was injured and on the ground. And normally, as a wildlife rehabilitator, we would grab an animal that was injured and bring it in for care. But crows have such strong family bonds. They take care of each other. So this crow was on the ground, but being fed, brought food by other members of his family. And he was healthy and healing. And we waited about 3 weeks and then said, you know, maybe we should just have him checked out just to make sure that he doesn't have some kind of permanent injury. And, you know, when I walked up to him and I went to put my net over him, he flew right up into a tree. So he had done the work of healing on the ground with the help of his family. And they are just so amazingly adaptable. I just love them. And they have this incredibly diverse diet. And although crows are known to steal babies out of nests and to pick through garbage and all of those kinds of things, they eat lots of bugs. And some of the bugs they eat are actually invasive and harmful bugs. So we like them. And they are also known for getting into the cornfields and picking at the corn. And that's why the scarecrows are there. So in my Lignasa ceremony earlier this week, we celebrated crow and tapped into that crow energy. And some of the participants have had some really amazing crow experiences since then. So that's pretty cool. All right, I'm going to wrap this up with just a little bit more about Lignasa. There are lots of activities that are associated with Lignasa, but the thing that we really want to tune into, or at least that I hope you really tune into, is to get out into your garden to see what is manifesting. And if you're harvesting food, then do so with gratitude. It's also a great time to offer some of that to the wild ones, of sunflower seeds and dried corn for the birds, for the squirrels, for the deer. And most importantly, what intentions did you set earlier this year? What have you been working on? What do you want to manifest? What projects have you started that are sitting unfinished? This is the time to give it that last oomph and manifest and complete. This is completion. You have until the fall equinox, so make it so.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.